Happy holidays, everybody. Is anyone else in that last-minute gift-giving panic mode? Well, if you are, we have just the answer for you. You can give a gift that's thoughtful, personal, joyful, and instant. A Pop Culture Preservation Society Patreon membership. This isn't just one of those click-and-forget-it gifts. This is connection. This is laughter. This is that warm, happy feeling you used to get when your favorite song came on the radio and you knew every single word. When you give a PCPS Patreon membership, you're giving experiences. You're giving community. You're giving something that actually means something. Our Patreon members get Zoom happy hours, goodie packages, printables, bonus and exclusive content, and behind-the-scenes access. It's the perfect gift for all the Gen Xers in your life, including yourself, because as we know, treating ourselves has never gone out of style. The best part is there is no wrapping, there's no shipping, there's no panic. There's just instant happiness and months of joy ahead. Kind of like hitting play on your favorite mixtape and knowing every track is going to be great. All you have to do is head to patreon.com, that's patreon.com, and search Pop Culture Preservation Society. You're giving a gift that feels personal, fun, nostalgic, and full of heart. Because as we all know, the best gifts aren't things, they're experiences.
You know when it's right. You know when you feel it, baby. You hold it, you hear it, you taste it, it's right.
Pepsi Light, uh-huh.
You got the right one, baby.
Pepsi Light.
It's this irrepressibly lovable, unsurpassably colorful, and intimately soulful. You got the right one, baby.
When I was young, I'd listen to the radio, waiting for my favorite songs. When they played, I'd sing along. It made me smile.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of PCPS Light, our light and refreshing episodes, light on preparation or anything. We'll see what happens. We always just think like, we'll see what happens. Our topic today comes from an article shared by one of our listeners named Donovan, and it's from a writer on Substack named Ted Goya, and it's called, the title of the article is, Listeners Can't Remember the Names of Their Favorite Songs and Artists. And the premise is that research is showing that 16 to 24-year-olds, which is that age when music is really most important to you, it kind of becomes the soundtrack of your coming of age, right? Mm-hmm. Those people are less likely to have discovered an artist they love in the past year, and they are less likely to listen to more music from that artist when they do. And even when they do find a song that they like on TikTok, which is where they're finding their music, they rarely listen to the artist on a streaming music platform, which is how the musicians make a living. They just keep scrolling on TikTok instead. So this is impacting something really big that we often talk about on this podcast, which is called the reminiscence bump. Which is, Michelle, can you mm-hmm. remind us, what is the reminiscence bump?
Well, the reminiscence bump, again, everyone, here I go. This is just going to have to just come from my memory. It's when you, do you remember the exact ages that you are when you, it's like 14
to
something,
right? Well, I know the one
right?
that is the most, the biggest is 14.
Yeah, age 14. Yeah. So if in my memory, the reminiscence bump is when you, you're able to recall all those songs that you kind of ingested during those years of your life that, mm-hmm. I would say like 13, 14, 15. I know for me, that's definitely when it is.
Really adolescence.
And those are the songs that stick with you. Those are the songs that for the rest of your life are going to recall, not just, I remember maybe the artist, the lyrics, but I feel like it's, you're also going to remember maybe where you were when you heard it, or mm-hmm. you have mm-hmm. so many more memories associated with it, a smell, a situation you were in, a person you heard it with. Is that correct at all?
Yeah, because like we're making, the science behind it is that that is a time when everything is new and we're making so many new memories because we're becoming adults. Once you become adults and all this stuff is old hat, music doesn't stick to you the same way. So this is why everybody thinks that the music from when they were growing up is the best.
The best.
We all do it because we know every word, every note. We know every song that was on the radio, even if we didn't like it, because we have memories attached to that.
Yeah,
so that's
for sure.
The reminiscence bump.
And it's the, you know, that time in your life where you are soaking in everything and music's just hitting you differently. I mean, it's exactly why to this day, when I hear the opening of The Reflex by Duran Duran, I will be covered in goosebumps and feel like I'm going to cry, you know, because I have such a memory tied to that song. And like you said, even songs we don't like.
Yeah,
I definitely have songs that I'm like, don't really like it, but you kind of weirdly do because you.
We built this city. Because,
okay.
We built this city. I'm rock and roll.
I kind of like that song, but even if you're like, I don't like it, you weirdly do because you're tying it to a time in your life that is really important,
and you still know every word.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
You know every word of the songs that you don't like because you have such memories attached to them.
Yeah.
I just think that this whole article is super disturbing and worrisome for our future, for the future of musicians, and for the future of those 16 to 24-year-olds.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was so depressing when I was reading it. I thought, okay, you know what? I'm going to find all the holes in this. I am going to find the fault in these conclusions that this essayist was coming up with. And I thought, and I'm going to come prepared to this conversation. And to Kristen, I'm going to be like, it is not as doomsday as this guy's making it sound. And you know what? I have a source for this because my daughter Grace is actually a music business minor at Chapman University. And I thought, she is studying this all right now in real time.
Yeah.
So I sent her the essay and I asked her to read it and then, get back with me with her thoughts. And I'm expecting her to poke holes in so many of, again, in his conclusions.
Because because Grace is a music lover and she has a lot of people that she really feels strongly about. She knows names and titles. So like Grace is the person to ask.
Yes. Yeah. And she's studying it. Like she has classes that are about business, music business, and how to get your artists out there. And I was really expecting her, as like I just said, to kind of poke holes in it and to give me all the ammunition I needed to say, well, Kristen, you might think that, or this guy might think that, but, so I want to read you my text exchange with her.
Oh yay.
I sent it and I said, can you read the attached essay and let me know your thoughts? We're recording a short episode tomorrow to discuss, and I'd love to get your take. And I assumed I knew what her take would be. So I send it to her, and this is the first text she sends me back. Well, it made me really sad, but it's true, unfortunately. And then she said, part of my internship is just this, posting TikToks of musicians to get them views and followers. But unfortunately, TikTok is like the place to get famous now if you're an artist. And then I said, wow, for some reason, I didn't think you'd agree with the article. It's pretty depressing. And she said, oh, I agree with it a lot. And it's the same way I feel about movies and stuff.
Yes.
So she recognizes that. And I was like, oh, and even, you know, it's this catch-22 because what she's being taught in her internship and what music business is teaching her in these classes is kind of feeding into what we read in this essay.
Ooh, you're right. So she's actually learning how to almost facilitate all the stuff we are horrified by in this. Like, but, for instance, the one thing that stuck with me so much in this article is he had said, so here are the new rules of the game. And it was just number one. And it just simply said, artists no longer exist. Artists. Now, just that word alone, what that word has meant to us in our generation is different. Or is it even a word now? Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, is there a new definition of it?
Content creator.
Right.
They're content creators.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And that is, and you don't need, You don't need musicianship to be a content creator. So musicians are being lumped in with Kardashians.
Yes, yes.
Essentially, they're the same thing. And the people who could be the most talented might not be the ones with the most followers and the most views, because really the thing that is most important is that you, you know, fall off a cliff or something like that. You can't just have a good song. And the thing that is the death knell for the musicians is that the TikTok and social media platforms are designed to keep you on the platform. They don't want you to leave and go to Spotify or Apple Music or whatever, wherever you listen to your music. And so they're finding that the people who are scrolling, they might find something that they like, but they don't leave TikTok. They just stay there and keep scrolling. Like, oh yeah, I love it's, that song. And then hope they come across it again. So the artists aren't, even if their TikToks go viral, even if they get a million views, it doesn't mean anything for their career. It gives them exactly zero. But you know who does make money? The owner of TikTok.
TikTok. Yeah.
But the musicians make nothing. So there was an example in the article. I can't remember who it was, but it was a guy whose song went viral.
Someone and I never heard of.
I can find it. Yeah, it was Thomas Hewitt Jones,
and
who
he
composed a song.
8 billion.
That, yeah, 8 billion. I was just going to try it. Oh, it was called Funny Song. I wanted to say his name and the title in case some of our, you'll keep going, but just in case the listeners are like, I actually, with 8 billion, we have to assume at least one of our listeners was one of those 8 billion.
There are 8 billion people in the world, and his song, Funny Song, got 8 billion views.
I've never seen it.
By all measures of success, that's as successful as you can get. And yet, he created an album, he created more songs, and nothing. No one was there for him because they're just there for TikTok. Nobody went to stream his music. He is just left flapping in the wind.
It's, think about it. Before social media and like, especially YouTube before TikTok, right? People were getting famous. What was the Friday girl? Remember the Friday? Rebecca something.
See, here we go.
Oh, yes. That's right.
Yeah, the whole point is we don't remember their name.
We don't remember. Yeah. And it was such a bad song.
Yeah.
It was horrible.
Yeah.
But yet she became famous or infamous or whatever you want to say. But let's just say, let's just go back to our generation before social media. To be a known artist, you had to have, I don't know, a song on the radio, which was the result of maybe years of work, like being discovered, getting an agent, a label, all these steps, right? So the natural result of that is that the people you are exposed to, the artists you are exposed to, are fewer, right? Because it's a lot of steps and a lot of hard work. But now you can just play your instrument or sing your song or somebody else's song
in your living room
and upload it. And especially if there's some sort of little funny quirk or catch or hook or whatever,
you
never have
to
leave your bedroom, basically.
Yeah.
You don't have to go get, you don't have to do all these steps that people back in our generation had to do. And you can get hundreds of millions of views.
Yeah.
And then with one swipe, there's someone new. There's someone new to listen to.
Well, and you can mention, there's
No, go ahead,
finish.
I was just going to say, you can argue that that's great for talented people, maybe. Like, maybe like, okay, but now talented people have more opportunity to get their stuff out there. But in my opinion, I feel like it's kind of a double-edged sword because I think there's too many talented people and too many untalented ones who are getting famous for the wrong reasons.
They don't filter.
And
they can do this in their living room by themselves, and all it's the hard work of many people that would get people to the top before, including many musicians, very talented musicians. And
Sessions,
these people
musicians.
Are just on, I don't even know what it's called. It's like is it a machine? Oh, maybe on their laptop. They're like, I'll grab a trumpet here. I'll grab some piano here. There are no musicians in the room except for the one dude. So is a session musician even a thing anymore? Like, think of the famous people that were session musicians.
Yeah, we've
Glenn
talked
Campbell.
About that.
Yes. And the Wrecking
Kenny Rogers,
crew,
wasn't he?
Kenny Rogers. Mm-hmm.
Michael McDonald
Frampton,
was.
Toto
Michael
was made
McDonald,
up of session, session artists.
All very talented session musicians. And so I don't know that that's even a job anymore. So if you can't make money, if you can't get streams, being a working musician by going on your platform, which you're told you have to have.
Well,
you're
right.
Told that's the only way
22.
To do it.
And that's the only way you'll get a label or anything is to have, they want to go right to your social media. Kind of like you, Kristen, as a writer. That's one of the things, you know, an agent or a publisher wants to know right out of the gate.
Do you have a platform?
Right.
And you're told you have to have a platform. But we, you know, as I just said, social media is designed to keep people on the platform. They don't want you to leave. So no, they're not going to go look you up on Apple Music. Or for me, no, they're not going to click the link and go check out my book. So it doesn't really matter how successful I am on social media. It doesn't lead necessarily to sales because people don't leave the platform. And when they asked, when they surveyed these kids, the people who did leave the platform to go listen on Spotify or Apple Music, they admitted, like most of them admitted that by the time they got there, they couldn't remember the name of the song. They couldn't remember the name of the artist. And that's like a fraction of a second. And they couldn't remember it.
Oh, so you guys, you know what? Oh, sorry. I was going to say, that's very similar to you equating it to you as an author.
Yeah.
That's very similar to us as a podcast because our social media platforms are very successful. Mm-hmm. We have tens of thousands of followers that love our content on social media. Mm-hmm. We have the smallest percentage of that, or not the smallest, but a very small percentage of that actually then transfer that and listen to us. Now, we have people all the time, and we are promoting our podcast all the time on our platform, right? Mm-hmm. And then we have people that don't transfer. They love our content, but they either forget to go listen to us, forget who we are, or there's such a disconnect.
Yeah, there's a disconnect. And now we know it's by design that the social media platforms who are making us believe that we have to be on social media are also keeping us from our main goal.
Right. Mm-hmm. But it's awful because and you've talked about this a lot, Kristen. I mean, it's a catch-22. You know, we can't not be on social media.
Right.
But yet we don't agree with what's behind social media. And that
you're stuck.
Yes.
And you're stuck.
An algorithm that no one understands that feeds us the content. So, you know, think about when we were growing up, we had to like really seek out information and stuff about truly the artists that we followed and that we liked their music. So, you know, much like Michelle, she could probably tell you every Duran Duran member's birthday. We knew what David Cassidy's, you know, pets' names were. We had posters on our wall. We read liner notes. It was a...
You waited for the Mike Douglas show.
Yes. Right? You like flipped through, you know, the albums at Sam Goody or went to, the, you know, look for the 45s.
You bought the magazines.
Yes. It was active on our part. We were not passive in this experience. And now... You just sit in a chair and move your finger, and that's all you have to do. And so you're not invested. Like, we were really invested. Yes, there weren't as many artists to choose from, but
that's a good thing. That's
exactly.
A good thing because 100%. You can't. You're paralyzed with so much choice.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
And yeah. So it's really sad, and I don't want to be like, oh, woe is woe is me that this is all in the past. But we're really, everybody is missing out. That hunt, that treasure hunt, that listening for it on the radio and all of that.
Well, no, and how you just said you don't want to be, oh, woe is me, because just about 4 minutes ago, I was in my head kind of chuckling about like, God, we sound like a bunch of grandmas, don't we?
I hate
this progress. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing.
It's different.
It doesn't matter because you've got Grace, who is 21, right?
Right.
And she doesn't like what she's reading either, but she's being taught that you can't stop it. You've got to just get on board and you've got to keep going. So, it is so true that it is, we just happened to have read this article about, being, artists, like musical artists, but it's now really dawning on me that it is so true. It's books, it's podcasts, it's movies, it's everything.
It's everything.
We can't even remember what we want to watch.
No.
Right.
No.
Exactly.
I sit there in front of my TV every night and Mike and I look at each other like, what?
It's too much. It's too much.
Too much. And you know what's interesting too? I was just thinking about Grace's little niche in her music business minor is fan engagement. That's what she's getting hired for. So she's getting also, it's interesting. They've kind of created a problem that now, like, they want her to engage with the fan so that the fan will in turn feel seen and go on Apple Music, go on Spotify, because they have kind of, you know, what we maybe had with a Tiger Beat. So that's what their, her little niche is to engage with those fans in more of a human way. But yeah,
the irony. Oh my God.
Yeah, isn't it?
In more of a human way.
Wait, so are you saying then that maybe, this, are you saying then, Carolyn, that maybe this fan engagement that she is, that's her niche and that she's learning about, is maybe going to like fix a little bit of this, what we read about? Like maybe it's going to then create listeners who do want to go to Apple Music and download the song, or is you'd that what like, they're trying to do with fan engagement? Yeah, is trying to maybe dispel like to think, a little bit of this?
But as we've said in this episode and many others, it's not, you don't have control over what these people, these fans are going to see necessarily. So like, you know, it's this algorithm.
Because
that
of the algorithm.
It.
Yeah.
And so I think, you know, a lot of the things that Grace is also doing, they're trying to do some in real time, like actually go somewhere and have these little mini concerts at like a house or where they can, people can actually be together, experiencing this music. Yeah. And so it's kind of finding these back ways in to get the fans invested in the artist versus just, you know, scrolling. I mean, oh, that's a cute song. Oh, that's a cute video of
an
raccoons.
Analog way.
That's
they're
a cute
embracing
magician.
A smaller, less viral analog way to get fan engagement.
Right.
And enjoyment. Yeah. Okay.
Just the whole experience. And like I gleaned from this article and then doing a little other research that musicians aren't just, I don't want to say in competition, but let's just say that in competition with other musicians, like, you know, Billboard's top 20, oh, I want to be number one. Now they're in competition with just other creators. So it's music, but then it's like, oh, God. I want to go see the people slipping on ice. Where's that account? And then it's, like I said, it's a magician.
That's Carolyn, by the way. You know, that's Carolyn's image. Right.
You know, and it's people reviewing lipsticks. It's just, they're competing for our time and our attention,
our attention,
snippets
our
of
attention.
It, but not just with other musicians. It's with
and
crap,
how do you break through? This guy that wrote this article, I just thought this was interesting. He wrote a previous article long ago, actually. He saw the writing on the wall, and the title of that article was "Record Labels Dig Their Own Grave, and the Shovel is Called TikTok." So he's basically saying that a record label's embrace of social media is their demise. Mm-hmm. And yet, like you said previously, it's they're kind of stuck. We're all stuck. And we have a double robbery here. So the first being that musicians can't make a living. And if musicians can't make a living, they won't go into the music business and will be left with content creators instead. So let's just be clear about what that means. No more Prince. No more Bob Dylan, no more Joni Mitchell or Nirvana or Whitney Houston or Janet Jackson. It'll just be K-pop demon hunters.
Can I just interject?
People.
Okay, but just pause for a second. Could you guys even imagine Prince, if Prince would have thought, I have to be a content creator? Hell no.
Can you imagine?
Like,
Prince
just think of every single
say,
one of those people you
no.
just.
Right? Yeah.
Exactly. Every single one of those people you just mentioned who are all. I mean, artists, capital every letter, artists, like the most like quintessential artists, they would never, not one of those people would have had anything to do with content creation.
That's right. They would have
so
said
so think
hell
of it now,
right.
Who we're left with. You're right. We're left with the K-pop people.
And let's just say, Michelle, that Prince decided, okay, maybe I will go on here. Based on this article, somebody would say, oh, you know that guy, and he sings a song about like, oh, is it diamonds?
Is it
there's
a color. Yeah, there's a dove.
I think it's pink, purple. I'm not sure. You know, like people wouldn't even know his name. If
he plays a guitar,
know.
I think. Is it a guitar?
Yeah,
I think
exactly.
it's a guitar.
Who will become an icon? There won't be any icons, or there will be people who are creating the music of Mozart, but nobody will ever know about it.
Mm-mm. And look at people like Taylor Swift, who does have a very a very big social media presence, but this is someone who was an artist before social media. So
That's right.
We still are, mm-hmm. but now those people are going to, they're going to fade out, right? Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. they've kind of come along and come on board.
Gift.
And she was also young at the time
when
social media happened. So she's going to hop on board, but there's mm-hmm. a lot of people that aren't.
And she has a unique gift in capturing sales that other people don't have. So
yeah.
I'm not sure that we can all use the Taylor Swift model in order to make a living. But the second robbery then, I think, is the one that applies to us even more, which is that the kids of today won't have any nostalgia. They won't have a song that transports them. They won't have a reminiscence bump. And just this week, if you guys follow me on Instagram, I have been obnoxiously reposting in stories these content creators who are simply reposting snippets of songs from the 80s. And it's like they lived with me. It's like they lived in my head in the 80s, and every song they post literally transports me to another moment in time. I get a physical, visceral reaction because every time they play a song, I can imagine exactly where I was, who I was with, mm-hmm. and what I was doing. And it's like a flashback of my adolescent life. It's like joy and gratitude. Mm-hmm. And truthfully, relief, like
in
a
action.
Dam has broken all at once. And these kids won't get that.
Aren't you guys glad that our kids, I feel like my kids do. I mean, now my kids are older, right? They're 24 and 30.
Yep.
So they have the reminiscence bump because they didn't have mm-hmm. social media really at that age,
yep.
14. They definitely have songs that transport them back. All our kids, I think, could, mm-hmm. would, do, whatever. But I don't know. I would love to know a 14-year-old, 15-year-old, and actually I do. I know a girl who just turned 16, a close family friend. I would love to talk with her in about 15 years and say, do you have a song or 10 years that transports you back where you can feel what you were feeling and you can smell smells and you know who you were with and all that kind of stuff? Because we're talking about, when we say kids, listeners, we're talking about we're not talking about our kids. We're talking about the adolescents,
the kids
today.
Of today.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's why I'm so, you know, I'm not technically a Swiftie. I talk about Taylor Swift a lot and I'm really fascinated with Taylor Swift. And I am, and yes, Life of a Showgirl was my number one album according to Apple Music this year.
Mine too.
But that being said, I am so grateful for her because it could be that she's the only thing that will be these kids' nostalgia.
Mm-hmm.
This is a cultural moment where those songs will be the only thing that, I mean, tell me otherwise, maybe we're just uninformed and there's something else that's really big that kids are listening to.
Well,
we
I think we could
it.
Have said Harry Styles at, you
yes.
know, at some point, but
yes.
again, mm-hmm. he was introduced to this generation when they were a lot younger and it
as
was One Direction.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess you could say right now the whole Wicked thing, like those songs, mm-hmm. they might have reference to. But yeah, it's not the same. And I'm afraid it's going to be stuff like, you know, we'll post, like you've been doing, Kristen, a video or a little snippet of a song that reminiscence bump related. Mm-hmm. And now I'm thinking, you know, they're going to do Charlie bit my finger or whatever. Like, it's not going to be music that is the nostalgic thing.
No,
it's
going
to
be
memes or these moments that
went
viral.
Like something that went viral because, let's go back to it, artists no longer exist.
Right.
We're content creators. So it's not just the musicians and stuff. It's everything else they're getting inundated with.
And those
with
things
on,
are meaningless.
TikTok.
Correct.
So mm-hmm. they don't require deep thinking.
No.
They don't bring us together as a community. They don't, you know, think about songs from your adolescence that you really clung to because it was helping you through a moment.
Oh,
or,
my God.
Right?
So
songs
many.
You cried to or songs that you partied to or songs that, you know, all of your friends jumped up and down to. Those are all really important and meaningful things. A meme is not.
Not exactly.
Mm-mm.
It's we're not required to think, which
I might
say that's what people ultimately want.
I know it's the reminiscence bumps and, you know, science says it's age 14, but you guys, I was probably 4 years old and I would cry listening to the song Precious and Few by Climax. And I still have my 45 is right behind me right now. If you guys see that little 45 on my shelf and it's cracked, the whole 45 is cracked, but I still own it. and it's back there. And that song, I have it on playlist because when I play it, I get that twisty feeling. I get that mm-hmm. choked up feeling. I love that song so much. And that harkens back all the way to being, yeah, like 5 years old. And I'm sure it was on the radio or something.
You didn't know why you were crying. You had no idea.
No idea. But
the music was touching you.
And you also only got to hear it a few times on the radio. Right. And then I don't know that I had that 45 when I was 5 years old. I probably mm-hmm. got it later. Because I probably was in a record store, as you were, and I mm-hmm. probably saw it as I was flipping through. I mean, I had it since I was really little. It wasn't like I was a teenager and bought it, but or maybe someone gave it to me. I don't know. But you have these moments and these memories that even being, you know, decades later, you are just whisked mm-hmm. right back to. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A lot of those, too, as you say that, Michelle, are kind of shared with my parents. It was like, you know, their music was just around. We've talked about that kind of in our DNA. So we know all the words to, you know, Precious and Few or some Barbra Streisand songs that we wouldn't necessarily have even been on the radio at mm-hmm. that point or whatever. But it was, again, this communal experience that takes us somewhere when we hear some of these songs, like, you know, Jim Nabors' Christmas album, I'm Somewhere, you know, because my parents played it. And and just to think like there's not that those experiences. I'm guilty of it. Like I'll have my AirPods in or whatever, and I'll be listening to the Christmas music I like, and Grace might be over, up in her room listening to the stuff she likes, and we're not experiencing it together.
And what will remind her in the future of her? What is the song that will make her cry because it was her mom's favorite song? We won't know. Like there's nothing that will remind us. I should say them. There's nothing that will remind them of their parents or their family or their brother.
That is so depressing.
Well, yes.
I bet there will be. I mean, I'm happy to report that my 30-year-old in her Spotify wrap-up or whatever, she's still – Carpenters Always Make It because she is a huge Carpenters fan.
Because you played your music.
Yes.
Right.
Today's children
won't have the songs of their parents. And I've told you about when I was visiting my brother in Los Angeles and I wanted to go see Andy Gibb's Grave. And he's like, love is higher than a mountain. Love is thicker than water. He knew all the words mm-hmm. because he heard that coming from my bedroom.
Yeah.
And so then that music becomes meaningful to him because it reminds him of his sister and his growing up and his family, even though he wouldn't have picked Andy Gibb. Right. But it becomes important. So it's like as we pipe the music into mm-hmm. our ears, we become separated from each other and isolated from each other. And our nostalgia, again, is robbed.
Well, and also because
Carolyn's losing it right now.
Yeah, I'm thinking, where is
Carolyn has her head in her hands
where
right now.
Where is the silver lining? I'm looking at my notes.
I know. We're going to need to end this on a happy note. I just wanted to say it's also because of the attention span of a gnat that today's generation, mm-hmm. today's kids have, mm-hmm. they would not have the patience. And because of the accessibility to things like AirPods and whatever, mm-hmm. we didn't have accessibility to that. I mean, we might have had a Walkman if we were lucky that you could plug into. But I don't know about you guys, but my mom would have been like, don't walk around the house with those things on your ears.
No. That was for a run. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. so what I'm saying is like because of the attention span, because of the accessibility to AirPods and whatever, they aren't no one today is listening to the same music. Mom and dad today, they're not going to have probably, Barbra Streisand on the turntable, Anne Marie on the turntable, while the kids upstairs cleaning her room.
Maybe
I would shut my door. I don't know. It's just, it's all different. And again, I feel like I'm the grandma right now. Say, progress.
But I think there's science and there's data that supports us now. It's not like us just looking back with rose-colored glasses. There are actual studies. And I think it was Australia. Some country just passed
Australia did it.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Social media is not allowed for children under the age of 16. It is banned for those under 16 years old. Yes.
I don't know how they're going to
New Zealand.
That.
That's where I want to go.
Australia.
I know, but said like Australia, New Zealand, all these, I have a handful of countries that I would like to exile
to. Escape to.
Those are two.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to live there.
There is something that we can do. And I think that we Number one, I deleted social media off of my phone today. It doesn't mean that I'm off of Instagram, and it doesn't mean that I won't enjoy Instagram, but it's going to be when I go to my desktop. That's how I will be enjoying social media from now on. It's just something to be, we can all be more mindful about how we use it. It doesn't mean that we can't use it. And hopefully we can spread that word to others. And I think this conversation that we just had about families separating from each other, if we can spread that word to families with children and say, if you want to be closer to your children, play the music out loud. Play your music for the family. Give your kids a turntable. Give your kids a CD player or a tape deck so that you can hear what they're listening to also. Because I'm also not at all privy to what Liam is listening to because he only puts it in his ears. And mm-hmm. I did when he was a kid, when he was listening to Journey and Van Halen. Yeah, right. But not anymore. Not anymore. So the guy who wrote The Anxious Generation is certain that we can turn this ship around, but it's going to take all of society agreeing that we can do it together. We can't just let social media be the boss. We are the boss.
Right.
We're the boss. We get to decide.
Kristen's mm-hmm. the boss, everybody.
I'm the boss.
She's my boss, that's for sure.
Okay, so with that, we're handing it over to you. How does this make you feel? And what actions will you take today to provide our future generations with nostalgia that we so love? Mm-hmm. That is our message to you.
And
today.
We'd love to hear from you about this. Yeah. Send us an email at hello@poppreservationists.com or shoot us a DM on social media. Just kidding. Because there's the double-edged sword for us too.
Yes,
we like to provide joyful moments in people's doom scrolling. We really do. Mm-hmm. And so for me especially, I can't delete it off my phone because I'm kind of the captain of that
job. That's right.
But at the same time, I don't ever feel bad about that because we are providing a soft place for people to land at mm-hmm. the Pop Culture Preservation Society with our conversations and with our social media. But for real, listeners, we'd love to know your opinion on this, your take on this, or maybe mm-hmm. your ideas. Yeah. So contact us any way you want to, but let us know and maybe we'll share.
Send us a letter.
Yes. Yes. And we'll, you know what we'll do? We'll share it in the Weekly Reader.
Yeah.
That's what we'll do.
Thank you so much for listening today. In the meantime, let's raise our glasses for a toast, courtesy of the cast of Three's Company. Two good times.
Two happy days.
To Little House on the Prairie.
Cheers.
Cheers.
See you at Instagram.
When I was young, I'd listen to the radio, waiting for my favorite song. When they played, I'd sing along. It made me smile. Those were such happy times, and not so long ago. How I wondered where they'd gone.
The information, opinions, and comments expressed on the Pop Culture Preservation Society podcast belong solely to Carolyn, the Crushologist, and Hello Newman, and are in no way representative of our employers or affiliates. And though we truly believe we are always right, there is always a first time. The PCPS is written, produced, and recorded in Minneapolis, Minnesota, home of the fictional WJM Studios and our beloved Mary Richards. Nanu Nanu, keep on truckin', and may the force be with you.
Happy holidays, everybody. Is anyone else in that last-minute gift-giving panic mode? Well, if you are, we have just the answer for you. You can give a gift that's thoughtful, personal, joyful, and instant. A Pop Culture Preservation Society Patreon membership. This isn't just one of those click-and-forget-it gifts. This is connection. This is laughter. This is that warm, happy feeling you used to get when your favorite song came on the radio and you knew every single word. When you give a PCPS Patreon membership, you're giving experiences, you're giving community, you're giving something that actually means something. Our Patreon members get Zoom happy hours, goodie packages, printables, bonus and exclusive content, and behind-the-scenes access. It's the perfect gift for all the Gen Xers in your life, including yourself, because as we know, treating ourselves has never gone out of style. The best part is there is no wrapping, there's no shipping, there's no panic. There's just instant happiness and months of joy ahead. Kind of like hitting play on your favorite mixtape and knowing every track is going to be great. All you have to do is head to patreon.com, that's patreon.com, and search Pop Culture Preservation Society. You're giving a gift that feels personal, fun, nostalgic, and full of heart. Because as we all know, the best gifts aren't things, they're experiences.